A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 63. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this is a bonus show. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. So yes, we're doing another bonus show to catch up on various bits and pieces. So we don't have a specific TV series to discuss during this. And it's a while since we've done one of these, Brian.
Yeah, it is.
I think the last one was in March 2009, which was our episode 39, although you did cover some of our promos and various little musical clips that you'd recorded back in episode 42.
That's right.
And we've got some stuff to get through this time.
We have lots of feedback, and we have been letting the feedback stack up a little bit too much. We should have come to it a little bit sooner. But that is the biggest reason for doing these bonus episodes.
We've had feedback on Facebook and on the blog comments and also by email to BritishInvaders@gmail.com. And one of our regular correspondents, and one of our favourites, Jill Arroway from the Signal podcast, has emailed us on a number of points. Rather interestingly, she took up our challenge and watched the TV film Threads after our discussion of the film War Games and the TV film Threads. And I think I'm right, Brian, that she found it quite a depressing and disturbing experience, much in the same way that we had.
Yes, it's hardly surprising. It's pretty strong stuff, that show.
Absolutely. But she also questioned what we had said about Children of the Stones when we described it as possibly the scariest children's television show of all time. And Jill thinks that we may have missed out on a program called Escape into Night, which unfortunately now is a lost television show. We can't see the whole thing. And I think all that's left are a few clips on YouTube, which do actually look terrifying. So she may be right. It may have been the scarier show.
That's possible. It's hard to say now. I think there is a reference somewhere. It may have been Wikipedia saying that there actually is a black and white copy that still exists somewhere, but I haven't confirmed that. It sounds like it may be a lost show altogether, or there may be some form of it kicking around. It isn't entirely clear.
And Jill also corrected us on the actress Pauline Quirk. She cropped up when we discussed the Nigel Neill series Beasts, and she played a sort of cash and carry version of Carrie herself in the Beast episode Special Offer. And I think I described it as possibly her first role on British television, but of course she'd actually appeared in a number of things as a child actor, and in particular she was in Dixon of Dock Green, the police show, at the age of 8. And I don't know how I missed this, but she was on the cult television show Why Don't You Switch Off Your TV and Go and Do Something More Interesting Instead, a television show with an incredibly long title that was very popular for a while with children.
Yes, of course. They're not quite one of her first appearances, but definitely an interesting one.
Absolutely, yes. A good episode.
So Mike, also known as Jarek, watched Day of the Triffids and also Neverwhere after our shows and sent us some feedback about it as audio. So let's listen to that here.
Hi, Brian and Eamon. Mike from the UK here. I finally got to revisit the BBC Day of the Triffids production, which I hadn't watched since its first transmission way back when. I was surprised how much exposition there was to begin with, but then the couple of flashbacks they did show were not overly satisfying, and I guess time and budget prevented a full exploration of the backstory. It did work out okay. The casual comments by Bill while in hospital gave anyone new to the story the grounding they needed before the true situation revealed itself. I have to say that Britain at the time was a very different country. Beards, pipes and cardigans were the respectable front of academic pursuits and commercial applications thereof. Rather funny, really. Anyhow, we get into the meat of the story. We are presented with the two sides of the human, or maybe just the British psyche. There are those that embrace the collapse of society to lay new groundwork to ensure the survival of the species and whatever morality that brings with it, and those that still believe the social structure based on tens of thousands of years of development could still hold when faced with a total failure of the underlying structure. As we see in the short to mid-term, Both ideas fall flat on their faces, leaving individuals to find solutions themselves. But long term, the notions of society embedded in our minds reappear, in both good and bad ways. I'm glad I watched the series. It's a little dated, but that's to be expected with a 28-year-old production from source material written in the post-war period. Keep up the good work, guys. And keep watching the skies. Hi, Eamon. Hi, Brian. Mike from the UK here. I visited your Facebook page and read you were going to cover Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere. I'd never actually seen the series, and a quick look through various UK online DVD sellers, I found a brand new copy for £5.99. Done. I watched the series last night. Yes, all 6 episodes. Apart from the usual low-budgety type genre show the BBC is famous for, I enjoyed it quite a bit. The setting and characters were imaginative, and for the most part, the acting was sufficient, with one or two excellent performances, notably by Patterson Joseph and Hugh Bennett. I was sure I knew Laura Fraser from some other role as well, and it was only IMDb that gave me the answer of Night's Tale. I did wonder if Terry Pratchett had moulded his New Firm characters from the Discworld novel The Truth on Croop and Vandemar. They were similar, and of course Terry and Neil have collaborated on Good Omens. I do wish Gilliam could get that movie made sometime. Looking forward to more British TV discussions soon. Take care, guys.
So, thanks for that, Mike. Interesting point of views there, and it's, as always, great to hear from you and from all of our listeners.
And we've also heard from Dave. Now, Dave and his wife, Ange, do the Waiting for the Trade comics book podcast. And he emailed us about watching Jekyll. We discussed that show, which was a Stephen Moffat show, back on an earlier episode of British Invaders. And we had a lot of fun watching it and recommended it. And he went and purchased it as a result. So we hope he enjoyed it and he'll let us know how he got on with it. But also, Dave and Ange took up our challenge recently to discuss Neverwhere. And when we talked about Neil Gaiman's series Neverwhere, we talked about a comic book adaptation of it and some slight problems I'd had with the sort of the visual representation of the characters. And so Dave and Ange took up our challenge and recently discussed the graphic novel on their Waiting for the Trade podcast.
For the record, that was actually your challenge, Eamon.
It's me laying down the challenge to these other British podcasters.
Apparently so.
But anyway, they took us up on it, and I'll put the link to their show up in the show notes and on the Facebook group as well. So thanks for that, Dave and Ange, and I shall try and find you another challenge in a future episode.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Always nice to have a bit of interaction between these different podcasts. Fun stuff. Mick, who is, I believe, originally from Ireland, but currently living in China, managed to get a hold of a copy of Neverwhere after listening to us. So that was neat that he was able to listen to that. I know some of his access to some of the things we've talked about is limited, but he's certainly been enjoying some of this stuff too and looking at Neverwhere. So good stuff.
Yeah, and it's a good, I mean, as we said at the time, it's a good series, and over here it's fairly cheap. So I hope he was able to get hold of his copy cheaply. It's certainly one worth looking at.
Oh, yeah, it's good stuff.
We had an email from Leon, and Leon was asking for our help to identify a strange science fiction show he remembered from the 1990s that was something to do with an alien invasion in Scotland, and he couldn't recall the name of the series. And I think we managed to correctly identify it, Brian, as Invasion Earth.
From 1999.
And that is on our possible future topics list. Something that we may get to in time.
Yeah, we'll see if and when we get to that. It's a little different from some of the other things that we've covered, for sure. We also got a rather interesting and kind of exciting message from Don Cleese from Acorn Media, who releases DVDs of all sorts in the States, certainly for a lot of British shows. They are the distributor for Robin of Sherwood, among other things, in the U.S. and Canada. And we had talked about the Region 1 DVD release of Children of the Stones, which came out around the same time as we covered it. And we had mentioned that the listed running time was a little bit shorter than the Region 2 running time. I think it was something like 11 minutes shorter or something along those lines. So we were wondering if it had been edited or if the episodes had been joined together, so they took out the extra bits of credits and things. We weren't sure why this would happen. But Don from Acorn Media assures us that they were in fact using the original broadcast masters, and they have the full complete version as was originally broadcast on ITV at the same 174 minutes. So the Region 2 version may differ because of the bonus material or some timing issues or just estimates that were a little off. It isn't clear, but it is now clear to us that the American version is complete on DVD, and it's the same as the original British broadcast. So that's great to hear.
Absolutely. And I mean, how fantastic to have the distributor getting in touch with us after our podcast.
Absolutely. That's just great.
It is. Although it's slightly scary as well that they're listening. I'll have to be careful what I say.
Mm-hmm.
So let's turn to another podcast, the Scuttercast. And the Scuttercast is a podcast all about Red Dwarf. And in particular, they're taking a sort of episode by episode approach to the whole sort of canon of Red Dwarf that there's been so far, and so they go through one episode per podcast. And Anthony from the Scuttercast emailed us to congratulate us on our review of Red Dwarf and said that he'd enjoyed it, and he was kind enough to make us podcast of the week on the Scuttercast a few months ago. And so we will return the favor and say it is a very worthy and enjoyable podcast if you like Red Dwarf. And once again, we will try and put a link up somewhere on the blog or on the Facebook group.
Yeah, the Scuttercast is worth checking out. They go into lots of detail about Red Dwarf episode by episode, and they've talked about some of the Red Dwarf novels and all sorts of things. So definitely worth checking out the Scuttercast if you haven't heard it. James Fisher sent us some unusual photos. A bit of a sad moment in some ways for British sci-fi fans. They were photos of the demolition of the Brunswick Terrace building at Leeds Metropolitan University. What does this have to do with British science fiction? Well, it was the building that was actually used in Blake 7 for the third season episode, The Children of Auron, which was a landmark episode for the character of Callie and sort of went into her backstory a little bit and was one of the strongest episodes in the third season, I think. And this research facility on Auron was a big part of it. So it was interesting to see those photos of that building, you know, many years later, now being taken down.
Yeah, it was. It was a fascinating moment. I mean, the building itself was very impressive looking and very distinctive looking. I have to confess, I didn't quite remember it from the Blake 7 episode, but certainly you can see why it was used. It was very sort of dramatic concrete building with a sort of modernist look to it.
Yeah, it was sort of featured in that way, that it was this been a drastic modern building where they were doing these drastic modern procedures and experiments, which of course involved cloning.
Shame to see it go, and nice of James to let us know and send us the pictures.
Yeah, interesting to see pictures of time moving on with things like this.
I presume we could probably put those on the Facebook group as well. We might have to ask James first. I've also got one other email, which I've just found, from Jeff, who was talking to us about the Tomorrow People and saying that he'd enjoyed our review, but that he had also, like myself, had watched the Tomorrow People when it first came out and fondly remembered it. And so he was a little bit surprised by, I think it was my recommendation, Brian, that if you did have fond memories of the Tomorrow People, perhaps you shouldn't go back and revisit it in case you were as disappointed as I was. But actually, he took up the challenge, and he has watched the first two series of The Tomorrow People again recently. And I don't think he completely agrees with me, but he can see my point. And in particular, he noted that he was rather annoyed by the grand orchestral music welling up at what seemed like relatively trivial or mundane moments in the series. But once again, as with all this feedback, it's fantastic to hear that people are watching some of these shows that we're talking about. And taking up the challenge.
Yeah, that's great. It's wonderful if we can introduce people or reintroduce people to some of these shows. I really like doing that with this podcast. The Tomorrow People, yeah, is a bit of an oddity. It's hard not to see, going back to it now, that it has a lot of problems. It has some interesting things in it too, but it has a lot of problems. And it all depends on how things balance out for you, what outweighs what, if you enjoy it or not. And as we mentioned back on our Tomorrow People discussion, Big Finish did a series of Tomorrow People CDs, audio dramas, that unfortunately are no longer available from Big Finish because they lost their license. They are available online from some other sources, stores that still have them in stock and so on. And those audio dramas are the best Tomorrow People dramas that are out there, as far as I'm concerned. They did some really good work on those.
Okay, but once again, thanks to Jeff for emailing us, and thanks to everybody else who's emailed us about their experience with some of this television we've been discussing. Please keep it coming. We should also say a big thanks to all our contributors on the Facebook group who have many interesting conversations about some of these shows. We should mention particularly some of the contributors like Tony and Robert, Donovan, Wendy, David and Mary, who are all regular contributors, and where possible we try to use some of their input when we actually discuss the shows that we're coming to in the future. Because up on the Facebook group you can see the next details of the next three shows that we'll be talking about. So if you want to play along at home, you can try and get hold of some of this stuff and watch it with us.
Yes, it's always really great to connect with some of the listeners on the Facebook group. You guys have given us some great input and suggestions, and being able to discuss some of these things both before and after our podcast discussions is really nice for us, and I think it adds to what we do on the podcast, and it adds to things for you guys who are following along on Facebook. So that's really nice to be able to do that, and I think we've gotten some really solid discussion out of it, both on the things that we're discussing and other British sci-fi shows and related things and documentaries and things that people have mentioned. And sometimes these things are started by us and people are jumping in, and sometimes it's some of you guys posting things on there that we come and comment on. So it's really nice to have some of that happening. And please, by all means, if you're enjoying what you hear from us, maybe join the Facebook group or try jumping in on a discussion or two. There really is some fun stuff happening there, and I've really found it very satisfying.
Yes, it is. It's good. Good stuff. And recently, we've had some sort of like little announcements coming along of people from the Facebook group spotting when there's interesting stuff coming up on the BBC and on BBC iPlayer. We've had that recently with some of the M.R. James stories we discussed, with people spotting when they were being broadcast again on the BBC, and a few little interesting documentaries that people have posted links to. So, you know, if you join the Facebook group, you will keep up with some of the recent developments and where you can see these shows if they're coming up in the schedules.
Yeah, there is some neat stuff there for sure. And we also have to mention in feedback here, the future show suggestions you've given us have been great. You guys have suggested lots of things for British Invaders topics. A lot of the times the things that you've suggested are things that we already have on our schedule or on our list of things that we might cover, you know, things that we already know about and are well aware of. But we've also had lots of things that you guys have suggested that we don't know about, that we haven't heard about. There are just so many shows that are out there that there always seem to be new things that we haven't heard of before. So it's great to get all of these suggestions from you guys, and we've already covered one or two things that you've suggested, like Artemis 81, and we will continue to cover things that we've heard about from our listeners, from suggestions on Facebook or on email, and that's something that's been really nice and really exciting. You've surprised us with some things that we haven't heard of before, so that's really neat stuff.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. There's lots coming up, and some of the stuff that you've suggested to us will be along shortly. And as you say, Brian, some of us caught us by surprise.
Absolutely. We have a schedule all lined up for 2010 already through the end of the year, and we're gradually looking at things and putting together our 2011 schedule. So suggestions that are coming in now or things that you're interested in hearing us talk about, if they're not already on our schedule, they'll be for 2011. And that's just to give us a chance to watch the things we haven't seen before or rewatch things and look into them a little bit. So it's always good to be able to do that, and we're very happy to hear suggestions from you guys. And of course, there are so many things on our various lists and on your suggestions that we have plenty of content to cover for years to come, which is great.
Good stuff. Keep the comments coming, and please keep the suggestions coming.
So thank you for listening to this bonus episode. This has been great being able to talk about some of these things that we don't talk about on our regular shows. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, as we mentioned, and if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
And this is goodbye from Eamon in England, and thank you very much indeed for listening.